Please rise and join me in the call to worship. In anticipation, we gather.
With expectation, we wait.
We gather to watch for the coming of the good news into the world and into our lives.
We wait to see the fullness of God's vision.
O God, open the doors to our hearts that this year we might have room for the birth of Jesus.
O God, as we marvel over all that you are doing, overwhelm us with so much wonder that the words of praise spring forth from our lips.
In this time of waiting, let true worship begin in our hearts.
We come with hope on our hearts to worship God.
Brothers and sisters, the great hymn goes like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. Friends, as we start our Advent journey, let us lean on that hope and let us do more. Let us share it with one another through the gift of peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another.
peace again.
When you have given away enough peace and gotten some in return, please be seated. And so now I need all the children who are here to come forward because we have to teach the adults something I bet they forgot. So if there are kids in the room, come on up here, and we're not going to gather on the steps today. We're going to gather over here. Choo-choo, the train is coming. All right. Well, it is good to see all of you here today. Each year, we find one of these and we pull it out on this very day. Do you know what this is? What is it? It is an Advent wreath. The word Advent is a time that we use to prepare for the coming of Christmas, for the coming of the baby Jesus into the world. Now, what do you notice about this Advent wreath? What's in it? So there are candles. How many of them are there? There are five of them. So there are four Sundays that lead up to Christmas, and we light each one of these on a different Sunday. And then this one in the middle, this white one, we call the Christ candle. And do you know when we light that? When? We light it on Christmas Eve. And in a lot of churches who have worship on Christmas Day, which we do not, they would light it on Christmas Day. But we light it on Christmas Eve. And this one reminds us that Jesus is coming again to the stable in Bethlehem. So we've got the candles. Do we notice is one candle other than the white one different? What color is the other one? The other one's pink. Do you think it's just because the purple faded into pink? Do you think it's just old? No, here's what it is. So in Advent, Advent's a time of preparation. It also, in the older church, was sort of a time of thinking about the things that we could do better in life. But on the third Sunday of Advent, we light the pink candle to remind us that it's still a loving time. And so this is the candle of love, and we will light it in two more weeks. So what else do you see in the Advent wreath? Yeah. Greens. Now, what do you think these greens represent? Any ideas? Think about winter, and think about all the trees out there. And what do most of the trees lose in the winter? Right, but which ones don't? Evergreens. And so what is this a sign of in the midst of winter? It's a sign of life, right? Because evergreens are still alive and they're still beautiful. And so we put this as a circle of greens to remind us that life is still here and with us. Here, let's get down because I don't want that to fall. So this is the Advent wreath. Each week, I'm going to ask you to come up and help people to light a candle. We're going to light a candle this week that signifies hope. Does anybody know what hope means? What does hope mean? If I say I hope for something, what am I saying? Yeah. Yeah, I wish for something to happen. And so we remember with the hope candle that God is still doing and will do good things for us. We hope for the coming of Jesus. And so today, we're going to light the hope candle. But each week, we're going to light another one until all of the candles are lit. Now, story says that the Advent wreath in its modern form may have been born in Germany, that there was a pastor there, and it came about actually because of kids. Because kids kept asking, how long is it until Christmas? They kept asking, when is Christmas going to finally get here? So this pastor, one of the stories, is this pastor took this wreath that had been long in existence, and he put 24 candles around it. So every day in December, they lit another candle until they were all lit. So in the same way, we light candles until all of them are lit. So you ready to light them today? All right, I'm going to ask Sarah and Bronley. They're going to light the candles for us today to come forward and do that. So come on up. And congregation, there is a role for you to play in your bulletin as well. So if you want to keep those open. And make a little bit of room, because Sarah is bringing fire through here.
We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world.
With the coming of this light, there is hope. Because of Christ, we not only have hope, but we know that good is stronger than evil. For Jesus is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it.
Please join us in the reading of the Advent prayer on your next page.
God of light and life,
we thank you for the gift of hope.
Brought into our world through the Christ child. We thank you that you are still bringing hope
into people who sit in shadow.
Help prepare our hearts to welcome Jesus, that we might be a people who live and hope and bring hope to our world in need.
Amen.
You can either go back to your parents or go to Sunday school. Sisters and brothers, good morning.
Good morning.
We can do better. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge. Welcome to saint and sinner. Welcome to old and young and those who would claim to be neither. Welcome to believer and doubter, to first-time visitors and to old friends of this historic church. Welcome. We have been working hard to get ready for you on this day. The heat is up, the decorations are on the walls, the candle, it is lit, the table is set for all who are hungry, and there is glorious music in which to bathe. Oh, that Mary and Joseph would have received such a welcome when they arrived in Bethlehem so long ago. But it is precisely because they did not that we dedicate ourselves to making sure that in this house of God, in this sanctuary of healing and hope, in this sacred space, that you do. That you know without a doubt that you are welcome no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey. So friends, soak in the music, feast on the food, warm your bodies and your hearts, and get ready for the transforming love of God. At this point, I would like to invite all those who have an announcement to make to please make your way to the microphone over here so that you might be in line and ready to go. While they come, a couple of additional things. For our visitors, if you are new here, we invite you to fill out one of these pew cards that we might know how to reach out and get in touch with you. A second announcement that I will draw your attention to on your purple sheet is an announcement about winter worship. Friends, snow and ice and winter storms are coming. And know this, unless the governor tells us or someone else that we can't be on the roads, we will have worship. But know this, use good sense, think safely, and if you can't get here, that's okay. We'll be here again the next week. What announcements do we have today?
Good morning. I think we were greeted by the kind of weather that makes us all think of Christmas here in New England. And one of the ways of getting ready for Christmas is there's a daily readings that are in each of your pews. They're to take home and take a look at and give you some ideas of things that you could read as a family through this Advent season of getting ready for the birth of Christ. Also, as part of that, Brent will talk more about all the activities going on right after the church service, but we're going to be making Advent wreaths that you can take home, and we've got plenty, so please stick around and make yourself an Advent wreath to take home. There's also at least 5 other crafts that are being done that are all part of preparing, so come and join us.
Good morning. I'm Terry Wise, chairman of the Mission of Board and Board of Mission and Action. And when you go out to the Jonathan Edwards room, you'll see a lovely Christmas tree, and it's covered with paper ornaments. Every ornament has a number on one side and a description of a gift request on the other. These are for mostly children, but a few adults in South County that are not doing so well financially right around now, and so they will have a happier Christmas if we can provide some wrap gifts. You take a tag, write your name on, there's a list on a clipboard right next to the tree on top of the piano, and make sure you put your name and phone number and the tag numbers on the list, and then please bring the wrapped gift with the tag attached back by 2 weeks from now, December 15th. Also, the gifts by design are meant to be $25 or less. However, I was told by Construct, who provided some of the names, that there's an immigrant family that with 2 teenage children that have no winter clothing, no winter outerwear, and they were reluctant to put winter coats on the request list because it would be more than $25. So if anyone is willing to go beyond, you know, that limit and purchase 1 of 2 coats for a teenager, please see me afterwards. Thank you.
Jackie Hawkins, president of Service League. After church, we are going to be setting up for the Holly Fair before, I think, we have lunch. So all of the men and strong ladies, if you would like to meet in the Jonathan Edwards after coffee hour, we will put you to work. Thank you. The second one, this is for the flowers, the memorial flowers. This is new in the bulletin today, I know. But I would like to have them all in possibly by the 15th. That's what it says on here. You can either drop them in the box in the Jonathan Edwards room, or you can mail them to me. My address is on here. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Margaret Hornick, and I'm also speaking on behalf of the Service League. As you know from what Jackie just mentioned, the Holly Fair is next Saturday in the JE room, 10 to 2. And as a preview, we are opening today an opportunity for you to purchase tickets for 3 items that are being raffled. Little tickets look like this. They're $1 a piece, or 6 for $5. And we are raffling a food basket, a lovely Christmas stocking that was made by one of our members who unfortunately died recently, Dory Slausek, and a beautiful cross-stitch sampler made by our member, Jane McCormick. So you can view all those items right by the coffee table after the service, and we hope we'll purchase tickets. Thank you.
Our reading this morning comes from the 2nd chapter of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills, and the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's path. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. These are the words of truth and hope. Let us be glad in them.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Advent, as the days get shorter and the nights grow longer, as the darkness seemingly grows all around us, we as people of faith do a curious thing. We light candles. Through centuries of worshiping together, through reading the same stories over and over and over, we as people of faith have learned how to cope with growing darkness, even if we can't stop it. We turn to the light. We have seen how, illogically and possibly impossibly, these four tiny candles on that wreath somehow are enough. In the midst of darkness, we see light, because together we remember the story, how God will never let us face darkness alone. How in impossible situations, in the midst of growing darkness, God sends new and even illogical new beginnings. Like a baby born in a stable under the light of a star. In these four candles on that wreath, we see the coming of Christ. We see hope, peace, love, and joy. We, like Isaiah, see the word of God. Friends, in times of darkness, we turn to the teachings of God, and together we find light. Amen. In the 8th century, when our text says that Isaiah saw the word of God, the darkness was growing too. The people of Jerusalem found themselves in an impossible situation. In the face of an unimaginable army, their brothers and sisters in the northern kingdom of Israel had made an unholy alliance with the Assyrian Empire. And so, with massive armies marching on the holy city of Jerusalem, King Ahaz of Judah turned to the prophet Isaiah and asked, "What can we do in the face of growing darkness?" And Isaiah, he remembered the stories that had been told time and time again. He remembered how God will not let us face darkness alone, how God sends new beginnings. And so Isaiah, he painted this picture of hope for the king. Illogically and impossibly, Isaiah lit four candles in the midst of growing darkness, and this is what he said. He said, no matter what it looks like today, God will not let us face darkness alone. Instead, this very city that is surrounded and doomed shall one day again be a place of learning and teaching. It will be a place of justice, he said. People from all places and all races, they will be drawn to it. Isaiah said that they will stream to it. Because here's what Isaiah knew. In the face of growing darkness, the only thing you can ever do is turn toward the light. I don't know if you noticed, but one of the remarkable things about this passage is that Isaiah tells what he sees. Not that God is going to put a stop to our warring madness. Not that God is going to put a stop to any other darkness that we bring upon ourselves. But instead, God is always there to provide instruction, to show us what justice is, to gather us in worship, to teach us God's ways so that we might walk in God's paths. For this is what Isaiah knew, that when people like you and me come together in worship to learn and grow and be formed, we find light. Isaiah doesn't tell the king that God is going to beat those swords into plowshares or those spears into pruning hooks. Isaiah says it's going to be the people, you and me, who do it. For Isaiah knew that when people come together in worship and learning, when we seek to walk in God's paths, we will see light. That you and I will seek peace and practice violence no more. That we will take the very tools of death, swords and spears, and we will turn them into tools that bring life, plowshares and pruning hooks, that abundance might grow, that the poor might eat, that all might be fed. In the midst of advancing and immeasurable darkness, Isaiah lit tiny candles, and somehow it was enough. The war came. Jerusalem fell. Darkness descended upon the land. But we know this. The people, they did not lose hope. They focused on the light of God. They clung to it even and especially when it flickered in the wind. And they lived with hope until eventually and surely that darkness was repelled, because while it tries, the darkness cannot overcome the light. Friends, in times of darkness, we turn to the teachings of God, and together we find light. Amen? Amen. It is important that today, of all days, we focus on the light. You see, December 1st is not just the first Sunday in Advent. December 1st is the day that the world remembers and marks the coming of another darkness, a darkness that has claimed 40 million lives and counting, the darkness known as acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or AIDS. Today, brothers and sisters, is World AIDS Day. In the mid-1980s, that darkness was descending upon the United States in earnest. And in one of the great sinful moments of the modern church, we took our eyes off the light of God and the hope that comes with it. And instead, in that time, we focused on the darkness. And in the darkness, the church found fear. In virtually every church, including the United Church of Christ, people with AIDS were shunned. They were treated as pariahs. They were cast away. Hospitals built separate wings for people with AIDS that they would not be near anyone, and then pastors obliged them by not going and visiting. As people, as beloved children of God, died alone and scared. Too many of our churches also refused their families' funerals. As the darkness gathered in the 1980s, we as people of faith forgot to focus on the light, to tell stories, to remember that God always brings new beginnings. But I got to tell you, something in the midst of that darkness happened, and it was amazing. The Metropolitan Community Church, or MCC Church, was born. And that church welcomed from day one people with or without AIDS. And you know what? People of all nations and all races who were facing the darkness of AIDS in their lives or the life of a loved one were drawn to it. People streamed to it. Because while we stared at the darkness, the MCC somehow remembered the light. They told stories and remembered that the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of Isaiah and Jesus, never, ever lets us face darkness alone. The Metropolitan Community Church impossibly and illogically lit candles in the face of unspeakable darkness. And you know what? Somehow, they were enough. People kept dying. Darkness fell. But those people, they did not lose hope. They clung to the light of God. And somehow, that tiny little church held that light up for the rest of us to see. In 1985, finally, an interfaith team of people led by the amazing Letty Russell saw those lights, and I believed they remembered this very passage from Isaiah.
That when we come together in worship to learn and grow, we see God's vision, we leave transformed, we leave ready to beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. We leave transforming the powers of fear and death into life and hope. Now this team, they didn't study the issue through research or ethical debate. They did not hold conferences or retreats. Instead, they went together to worship with the people in the MCC church. They went to see the truth of God, the light that somehow sustained millions of people in the midst of darkness. They listened to sermons preached by pastors who themselves had AIDS. And they heard sermons preached on texts like 2 Corinthians 4. Now, in case you don't know that text off the top of your head, it goes like this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed each day. And that team, they saw the flicker of light. They went to churches where each and every week the entire gathered assembly recited Romans 8, that beautiful conviction of Paul that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing, not life, not death, not rulers who scorned them, or even churches who turned their backs on them. Nothing. And suddenly those familiar words mean new things, and another candle was lit. Despite all of the suffering this team saw, they also saw God's light and they streamed to it. Letty Russell, in her reflections at the end of it, said this. She said, I am convinced that the word of hope is still among us. The word of the God of life, who in spite of all odds threatens us with resurrection. That God is still here. She said, if we can gather in worship in the light of God and bring hope to something as horrific and devastating as AIDS, surely we can do the same thing around issues of war and violence and hunger and any other darkness. I know from the bottom of my heart, they would not have seen that light had they not gathered in worship, seeking instruction for God and learning all over again how to walk in God's path. In times of darkness, they turned to the teachings of God, and together they did find light. And so, friends, here we are in Advent, a time to take a look around and see where in your own life or in this world do you see darkness gathering. Because that picture of hope that Isaiah painted was painted for you too. A reminder to bring that darkness into the light of God, into the light of those flickering candles, to trust that somehow it will be enough, to seek God's teaching, God's light, and to remember how to walk in God's path. As we gather for worship for these next 4 weeks and see these flickering candles burn, I pray that these lights of hope, peace, love, and joy remind you of what Isaiah knew, of what the MCC knew, what all the stories we tell again and again in worship teach us, that God, friend, never, ever leaves us to face darkness alone. Instead, even now, God brings new beginnings in the most unexpected ways, like a baby born in a manger to give us fresh hope and a new start. In times of gathering darkness, let us together keep our hearts and our minds on God's light. If you join me in that prayer, will you say amen?
Amen.
Please be seated. As we begin our Advent journey, we join our hearts and prayers, our hearts and minds in prayer, using a prayer written by Henry Nouwen. It is printed in your bulletin. I invite you to pray it out loud with me, followed by a time of silence where we can pray for our joys and concerns and where we can prepare ourselves to come forward to this table. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Now, as one body, we break our silence, lifting our voices together, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, all of you who are hungry, all of you who yearn for the Spirit, I invite you to come to this table and be fed. For this is not the table of this church or the United Church of Christ or any church. This is the table of Christ. And it is Christ who is host at this table, and it is Christ who bids you welcome to this table. So whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, know that Christ himself invites you to come and be fed and be nourished. As we gather around this table, we remember the story of this table, that it was on the night that Jesus gave his life for us. He gathered around him his chosen family, his disciples, his closest friends. And as they were seated around this very table, he took the bread. He gave thanks for it. He blessed it. And there in front of them, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. This is the bread of life that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember that it was later in that meal that Jesus took the cup, the fruit of the vine, and he lifted it up before them. And he said to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take this and drink. And when you do, do it in remembrance of me." We remember that the story did not end at the table, but rather that it continued. And we remember that around that table was one person who was going to betray Jesus. We remember that around that table was one person who was going to deny Jesus not once but three times. And we remember that every single one of them around that table was going to leave Jesus in his moment of need. Jesus knew it, and yet he broke bread and shared cup with them. And so surely, friends, if you are still thinking this table is not for you, think again, because you are invited here. Before we can share this meal and partake of it, though, we need to bless it. I ask you to raise a hand in the ancient sign of Christian blessing and aim that hands towards this table and let all of your love flow out from your body through those fingers and let them land on this food, and on the way, let them dribble over the heads of the people in front of you. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, send your Spirit down onto this table. Send it deep into this bread and to the very bottom of this cup, that this meal that we are about to partake for us becomes holy food, that here we meet the presence of your Son, and that here we might be nourished and fed and sustained, that we might walk in your path toward the light. God, we ask all these things in the name of the one whose table this is. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, here is how this meal is going to work. You stay right where you are, and our deacons will bring the feast to you. That way, you will be invited to serve the neighbors who sit around you. There are a couple things that you need to know. First, this is all gluten-free bread. Also in the cups is all unfermented grape juice, that there might be no barrier to anyone partaking of this meal. Also, know that the cups in the very center of each ring are filled smaller, if that is helpful to you. Friends, this feast has been prepared for you, and all is now ready. One last invitation. Please know that as you receive the elements, hold on to them, and we will eat and drink of them all together as the one body that we are. Thank you. Friends, this is the bread of life. Take now and eat. Friends, this is the cup of salvation. Drink deeply of it. Let us pray in thanksgiving for this meal. God of all things, we give you thanks for this meal and for the grace which pours through it. Strengthen us by this meal and by the power of your Spirit to bring good news to the poor and lift blind eyes to sight, to loose the chains that bind and claim your blessing for all people. God, on this day we ask you to keep us faithful, that we may serve you until Christ comes in victory, and then we shall feast with you and all the saints in the joy of the eternal realm. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, in this church, we have a tradition with communion that we pray both with words of thanksgiving and we pray with our lives. People are invited to bring forward at this time items for the food pantry and or money to donate to the food pantry. Let me just warn you, I know we are so used to bringing it over here. Lest one of you run over this table of bells, please know that we will be accepting those offerings over there. Friends, let us actively pray our prayer of thanksgiving. Sisters and brothers, in this season of Advent, we remember what great things God has done for us, how God spared nothing that we might have the gift of hope and life and joy and reconciliation. Having been given all of that, let us respond in gratitude and thanksgiving. The offering will be given and received. God, send your light and life upon these gifts and all who have gathered here. Bless these gifts that they might become a beacon to walking in your path. Guide those who use them to do so faithfully and justly. Send forth your Spirit into each of us that we might follow in your way to the healing of this world and the glory of your holy name. And let us all say, Amen. Amen. Friends, our worship here in these walls is drawing to a close, that we might walk in God's ways beyond these walls and serve Him anew. Before we go, a couple of invitations. You heard Anne invite you to a special time there. There is lunch, there is crafts, there is help needed. It is a time to celebrate this season of Advent, and we hope that each and every one of you will go through those doors and join us. Also, coming up later this week on Saturday, Jack Brown will be doing his annual concert here in this sanctuary. I have been told as a newcomer to these parts that unless you get your tickets in advance, you will not get a ticket. So let me just invite you to think about that. Let us close our worship in song. Go forth now as children of light to walk in God's light. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one until we meet again. And let the people say, Amen. Amen.